Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I am your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest all the way from the UK is Shelley Whitehead. We're going to be talking today about relationships, dating, bereavement, having to start all over again, whether you are coming out of a broken relationship or whether you have lost somebody in your life. That loss is always very, very significant. And she said she is no stranger to loss and grief. Over her decades in private coaching practice, Shelley has used her qualifications and life experience to help bereaved, dumped, and divorced individuals to overcome their pain of endings and to transform their lives. She's well known for helping people heal broken hearts. She's an award-winning relationship coach and published author with a unique blend of personal and professional experience. She offers deep insights into the realm of love, loss, and personal growth. Born in South Africa, yay, and in London now, based on her approach to coaching embodies resilience and wisdom with deep and soulful insight. We're going to be talking about her book, and we're going to be talking about everything else, because quite honestly, who hasn't had loss? Who hasn't had a relationship that you put your heart and soul into it, and then it just blew up, and or you have lost somebody to passing over? Loss is a part of life, isn't it? But that doesn't mean, even though you could be rational about it, the emotions about it are something else altogether, aren't they? Welcome to the show, Shelley.
Yeah, so lovely to be with you, Sarah. After all these years of being connected to you, being with you right here and the audience.
Yes, and to find out you're South African too, because I lived there for 11 years. Wonderful. And it also gives you a different approach, because loss is quite prevalent over there as well, isn't it? And we were just talking about COVID, where there was a lot of loss for people, but a lot of gain in refinding themselves. And really, in order to rediscover who you are and what is in front of you right now, you know, we have to be willing to go through the grieving process of letting go what was.
Absolutely. You touched on two points there. You mentioned South Africa, loss in South Africa. I live in London, you're in Canada. Heartbreak and loss, you know, doesn't discriminate.
No.
Again, culture, religion, you know, where we live. It happens around us all the time. And my work and my joy is helping people transcend, because we don't bypass grief. If there was a tablet we could all take, or a pill,
yes,
I would love to manufacture it. I would love to discover it and get it all out there in the world, so we didn't have to have the pain of loss and grief. And yet, through my own experience and almost 18 years of doing this work, I have seen the gift that such pain brings. And it might sound really strange, but the lessons learned about ourselves and discovering who we are without a significant other, what makes sense for us now that we are out of that connection, and how we connect to ourselves again becomes part of that gift.
And it's recognizing the gift though, right? It's recognizing it. And you can't recognize it when you're in the thick of it.
No.
You know, you have to, as with everything else in life, you have to be willing to take the journey through it, because that's where the discovery is. That's where the reveal is, right?
Not everybody understands that they need to be willing. It's so easy to get stuck.
Yes.
Because we don't realize that we have choices. You know, we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And having someone or something to help you through it, which I was very blessed to have when I went through probably my last heartbreak a long time ago. But having someone who was able to give me perspective and create a different level of awareness, stopped me from getting stuck
Yes.
in a space where a lot of people can land up there for years. They aren't aware of the other possibilities. And meaning, the meaning we take from something like that doesn't come in the beginning. It's sometimes years, months, or a lot longer in the future where they look back and they go, ah, now I see that those different stepping stones led me to where I am now. And with everyone that I've worked with, no one has ever said to me that they haven't learned or benefited in a very powerful way.
And of course, you're not going to see that when you have a loss, whatever that loss is, whether it's divorce, let's really address loved ones, family members, or people that the relationship just doesn't work. You've immersed yourself into that relationship, or if it's been a sibling or parent, it's whom you've known all your life, and suddenly that person isn't there, and especially if that person, it's a sudden death or a painful death, right? And it's harder to get over, even though you know if it's painful death, they're okay. I mean, that's the first thing to understand. The people that have crossed over have gone home. They're back with that beautiful soul universe collective. It's us that are feeling the loss because they're no longer there. And I think sometimes shifting our thinking, we've got to feel it. We've got to feel it. We've got to have the tears. We've got to feel that emotion. But sometimes focusing on the good things, the memories, the memories that made you who you were. And even if it's coming out of a negative relationship, you're mourning the loss of what could have been. You're mourning the loss of a future you thought you had.
Yeah, the future dreams,
The future dreams.
the history, and everything that you're planning for a future. I've noticed, and because I've, obviously experienced both the loss of a loved one or someone very close to me and the ending of a relationship. The same grief process plays out. It just, the timeline is different. Very often, the one who was very much part of our lives who has died. And when I was going through the ending of a relationship and a significant ending, I was really sitting in my garden one day and I realized this is grief. Not the ending of just the relationship. This is grief. I'm, in the depth of grief. And having, years before worked through the loss of a husband who had kidney cancer and, working with the children and working through those grief processes, they're in a different situation. Same thing was happening again. And so too, the processes that I use in helping people, working with bereavement is a much gentler process. Not that the ending of a relationship isn't, it's a shorter process. Everything about the firsts in that first year with the loss of a loved one, we work very, very gently. The second year becomes a lot more creative. And, there's a big transition that happens in that second year after going through all the firsts and finding ourselves. In all of this, we were this someone before this significant other. And finding ourselves again after an ending, what we want to do, what we love to do, and how to approach life as an I rather than we, or without this connection.
You know, if it, and I'm sorry that you had to face widowhood and you had children, that makes the grieving even harder because you're trying to be strong for your children and your children are going through their own grieving process and each child will go through it in a different way. All right. And so that first year is all about navigating this new path and everybody's emotions. And the tears that can burst out at any moment for no reason or even anger. And so it's really about who are we now without? right? And we're feeling the loss of, but how do we identify as ourselves now as this family unit, right? So I think it's a navigational time of, you know, ups and downs.
Well, you know, the two ways that it could play out quite differently, as in the benefits of working with terminal illness versus sudden ending. You know, sudden ending for the person perhaps who, you know, had the heart attack or an aneurysm, you know, it was sudden for them. They didn't need to go through years or months of suffering. So there's a blessing for the one who's no longer there.
Yeah.
The terminal illness gives us time to not leave stones unturned,
right,
to really work with the process. And I was very blessed that a girlfriend of mine is a wonderful clinical psychologist and observed something about one of my youngest children and said, there's anger there. This child needs to see someone. I said to her, absolutely, who, where? And she lined up three therapists for my three children, and I walked in to drop them off, and I was told that my therapist was waiting for me. So too began my journey into the world of dying and death, and to be this one left standing to hold the children together, to keep the unit intact.
Yes.
And it was so beneficial. So with a sudden ending comes this immense shock, which also happens if you're expecting death to happen. Because physiologically, there's a shift and a change. Everything changes. And energetically, everything changes. And
it doesn't matter how prepared you are, right? You could be prepared. And my dad was given a diagnosis that he had 4 months to live when he had his heart attack. And he stepped into fighter pilot mode from the war, and racing car driver mode. Come on, death, come and get me. He lived another 4 years. Had they told him, change your lifestyle, I think that he would have lived a great deal longer. But instead, they gave him a death sentence, and he challenged death. And he became extremely difficult and put my mother through hell. And then finally had another heart attack over Easter. Fortunately, I was home from boarding school. And he died, and I was 11. And I went to my mother, apparently, afterwards, after she had announced it, and then people were coming. And I said, God took the one that was the weakest and left the one that was the strongest. And because my dad didn't have the strength or the courage to fight for his life anymore. And I think a great deal of that was coming from the war, right? Where, you know, nobody was given therapy after the war. It was suck it up and get on with your life, you know, the typical British thing. And I think that he, out of all of his squadron, only two survived, and both of them were dead before 45. So you know, that trauma plays on the body. And when you see somebody so angry and you can't talk to them, and they've got this sentence over them, that you're going through the same pain in a sense they're going through, right? And you can't find the calmness for the transition when it comes to be peaceful. And so we have to look at what's happening with the family, with the patient who's looking after someone that's sick, that is dying, and the wear and tear and the strain on that person. So never mind the grief when they finally go, and now they've got to navigate a new path. They've got to heal themselves, not just from the grief, but just from the battlement of going through everything they went through.
The good word, the battlement, because it's a huge battle, navigating and working hard to keep balance, and especially if you're caring for tender hearts, little one.
Yes.
Yeah, that includes then everything that else that comes with it, the dog, the cat, you know, the parents, you know, extended family. So it's quite a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely up to it, because it's in our psyche, you know, life and death. It's something that's inevitable, right? And we never know when death is going to come calling. Every day is a gift, and we need to treat it as such. But it's especially losing that one person that you were waiting for all your life, and then that person is taken from you, and you feel that you'll never find anyone like that again. I live with a 90-year-old who, 4 days before her wedding, her fiancé was killed in a by a drunk driver. And for her, well, her family was very much into, let's tear up the pictures, they didn't exist, for you to get over it. They do the same with her twin sister when she died. It's like, she doesn't exist, so you can't grieve over her, which I think is utterly ridiculous, because of course they do. But for her, nobody ever measured up to him, so she never had another relationship, right? And that's also something that is hard for someone to say, how could I love again? I loved this person so much. How could I love anyone again? Am I cheating on my spouse that's gone? If I do love again, you know, and there's that guilt aspect of it too, isn't it?
If that is their only point of reference and frame
yeah.
of
yeah.
And I think if we do look past, you know, look back in past generations, there was always the auntie or whoever it was who never married because,
yeah.
you know, it was either a love that walked away or someone who passed away, and she chose to stay on her own for the rest of her life. More common back then than now, because the world is different now, but helping individuals through beliefs that possibly don't serve them, or that feeling of guilt that you've just mentioned.
Yeah.
As in, you know, I hang on to the clothing, the items, the letters. Not that it's wrong to keep them at all, but living in the past doesn't serve anyone, because
No.
we are missing out so much on what is here right now. And it's only now that we can create something for what comes next. The future is
Yeah.
being created right now. So it's almost like we're denying ourselves the present and a beautiful future because we're so stuck back there.
Yes.
And it doesn't exist. So that's part of what I call the fantasy, getting stuck in the fantasy. It happens also when a relationship ends initially. You know, there's that shock, the denial. And then what happens is people get stuck in the fantasy. They will come back. Or the bargaining, if only if I do this, if I say this, if I be this way, then perhaps, or I can convince them that too is a fantasy. So hanging on to something that isn't real or that has ended is where I gently come in and bring in a sense of reality of that's the fantasy, and we're not going to hang on to fantasies because they keep us stuck.
Wishful thinking, right? There was a reason. If you're breaking up with someone, there was a reason for the breakup, right? And yes, for some people, it can be sometimes they get some counseling and they can find their way back together. They just kind of lost their way. And yes, that does happen. But generally, when you have a breakup, for you to fantasize, well, if only this and only that, or if I do this or do that, we can get back together. There's a reason why you didn't. Where you broke up. And so just thinking that if I did this or I did that, we'll get back together and live happily ever after, you'll still be walking back into the same problems.
Yes, relationships can be very challenging because conflict, as I say, is growth trying to happen. Conflict is not necessarily devastating or a problem. It's how we view it. And if we're open to finding solutions and to repairing and reconnecting, we grow. When a relationship ends, people, if you know, the one who walked away didn't wake up on the Tuesday morning going, today's a good day to end my relationship.
Yes.
Always been thinking and unhappy. And thinking and unhappy, or there was a trigger that led to the unhappy and thinking.
Yeah.
And there was something where they decided, I can't do this anymore.
Yep.
The one who has now received the news about, I don't want this anymore, whether it's face to face, these days, text.
Oh, God. Remember the Dear John letter? Yes, now it's the Dear Text.
Terrible way to end a relationship. Is left in the space of still wanting connection, where the one who's ended the relationship has departed from connection. So those meeting points are different. They're not the same. And this one who wants connection is pleading with the one who's disconnected to please reconnect. And
Yeah.
they are furthest from points of connection. So
What
it's
about the people that, whether it's losing someone by death or breaking up with someone, and they just go back out to work, go back out about their life, and just kind of get on with, I'm getting on with life. Life is, that's over, I'm getting on with life. And they just kind of immerse themselves back into something. That grief of something is still going to catch up with them at some point, isn't it?
I say that whatever we run away from, we're going to run smack bang into at some stage. And whatever is hidden cannot be healed.
Yeah.
So I have seen individuals do this, and it's called self-medicating, even in a seemingly healthy way.
Yeah.
Working hard, focusing on an issue, devoting oneself to a cause. And then, of course, we have the unhealthy self-medicating in, alcohol, food, substances. So people do that instead of really stopping. I have a little formula I use. It's broken up into, four sections in a book that I wrote, but I'm going to use my formula called four S's first. Space. We need to take space. We need to create a new structure. We must get support. Someone close to us, a group, a professional. And then the fourth S is sunshine, and it's metaphorical. Given that this is this little island I live on, that we, tend to suffer from a lot of rain or
Yes.
weather, and a lot of other countries too. So it's the metaphorical something, the sunshine, that lifts our state from here to there every single day, morally and ethically legal, of
Yes.
course. And it's in the form of perhaps just tapping into someone we find inspiring or motivating. That's what I did for myself. I tapped into people who really inspired, motivated me, gave me a reason to focus so I could get out of bed and just put some structure, gentle structure into each day to find the little metaphorical sunshine, be it that cup of tea, my Earl Grey tea in the morning, and, the support. Reaching out for the support to get further through the day and the week and the month until it became my habit. I grew stronger and lastly created a whole new vision for my life. Because the
Exactly.
old vision has ended, as you said, the future dreams based on the history and those beautiful times and sometimes not so wonderful times, there were still the dreams of the future. We now have to find that within ourselves, a new home within ourselves. And a new vision for the present and the future, and big dreams. People tend to dream too small.
Yes,
So,
yes. Okay. Rebound relationships. This happens a lot when you break up or divorce, is the rebound relationships. Not necessarily a healthy way to go.
sometimes not, and sometimes yes. So I remember speaking to a girlfriend of mine. I do my couples training with her. We both used to train with someone else since a long time ago about rebound relationships. Some people can get really lucky and find someone who shares their values, who's really companionable. There is that chemistry and they can communicate really well. Otherwise, they are using a relationship to self-medicate, and it's just based on this attraction, and it unravels often monumentally further down the line. And whatever grief wasn't dealt with,
Yeah.
they are now having to deal with the past grief, this grief, and everything else in between.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, I'm divorced. And I'm the one that asked for a divorce. Very tumultuous relationship. And when I asked for the divorce, you said, I've lost my control over you. So that's where our relationship went. And I had to take back my life. And it was like, it's a blank slate. Now, I still had one kid living at home. I had another kid who was out of school. He went to live with his father for a while and then came back to me. And it was a whole new thing of like, who am I now? Right. And I had to come out of kind of the trauma of the narcissistic browbeating that I went through. And so I had to come out of that trauma. But there was always the trust factor of looking at, will this happen again? Am I going to attract the same type of person? And I think that if, especially when it comes out of a relationship that's broken and it wasn't a good relationship, we're so fearful of going back into that same relationship. Very often we attract it.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
It's, one
And
of those
I'm
things.
going to ask, and there again, I know, just our brief chatting, you would have taken tremendous meaning from that. So if our focus is often on the fear and we don't have knowledge to create a high level of awareness, we can possibly get caught up in crazy, as I call it, again.
Yes. It's the frequency we know. So we have to change our frequency, don't we, to attract differently, which first and foremost, we need to work on ourselves, find that love of self so that we can attract somebody on that vibration.
We need to understand why we would possibly have chosen it in the first place. And so often there's a whole past story of what we experienced growing up that molded us in some way to really choose someone who is very similar to the woundedness we experienced, because traditionally we have a wound. No one escapes childhood, unharmed. And I say it lightly, but actually it can be quite a big thing. In us is the core wound. So we're going to go looking for someone who understands that wound so we can heal it. Unfortunately, we're not very conscious. They're not very conscious. So you have two unconscious individuals working to create something wonderful, and it ends up as a wonderful knot. And therein is the pain. When we look at what we don't want and we translate that into what we do want, the translation is very different. Understanding ourselves and why we chose it, because here's the criteria for a successful relationship. I've distilled it into four things. In my book, I speak about 12 core ingredients for a healthy relationship, but let's look at these four. Number one is the ability to emotionally regulate. Number two is to be able to self-reflect. Number three is to take responsibility. And the fourth thing, we need to really be able and willing to work on ourselves and to work on a relationship. Because as I so often say, great relationships don't just happen, they are made. Now, if we're prepared to do this, we have to find someone who's physically and emotionally available, who has the ability or the willingness to learn how to emotionally moderate, to self-reflect, take responsibility, be willing to work on themselves and the relationship. And if they're willing to do that, we're going to drop that divorce rate. That's over 50%. It's going to lower. We're going to create more successful families, communities, towns, the world. This is where change happens. And it's absolutely vital that we can self-reflect and ask ourselves the question. We do the relationship inventory on ourselves, on our past relationship, on the family relationship that we grew up in. And in there, we're going to find some precious gems that point us in a direction of what we want, because we're going to look at what we experienced and we don't want that.
I think if in order for other people to love us in our truth, we need to learn to love ourselves.
We definitely do. And finding a partner who celebrates us instead of criticizing us, being defensive and blaming us, because you throw those three things into that space, the relational space, you're going to create toxicity. And it's not that it doesn't happen. I mean, even in my own relationship, which is utterly amazing. You know, I'll say to Ilan, sorry, am I hearing defensiveness? Was that criticism? Or you might say, I'm feeling criticized. And then I've got to self-reflect and take responsibility and look at what I'm putting in the space.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
confidence, as I said before, is growth trying to happen. It's give it
Yes.
space and
Yes.
air and oxygen to grow.
And don't take things personally so much, right? Because somebody may be going through their own growth thing and kind of imposing it on you. It may not have nothing to do with you. So, know where it comes from and rather assist rather than taking it personally and getting affronted by it and then wah, starting an argument, right? Which,
What I'm hearing you say there is give the space, be emotionally allowing, not disallow.
Yes. Yes.
Ask questions, or, you know, use those three words, tell me more. And, you know, it'll take them to their growth edge, us to our growth edge. It's about the ability to really see someone and hear them without throwing our own stuff in the space. Because when someone is truly seen and heard, magic happens. I can see that when I work with couples
Yes.
and creating that safe space for expression, for reflection, for validation, everything changes.
We're not looking for someone to complete us, but to complement us, right? Because when two people, we want two people to have worked through their issues in life, worked through their challenges. They've now stepped into self-love of who they are, why they are. And when they find that person where that they're drawn to them, it is you, them, the us. But you don't want the us to lose the individual. It is the individual strength that brings the collective to the us.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I always say to my individuals and to couples who are working through challenges, a relationship is not your life. It's part of your life. In my practice, I focus on, you know, another seven life areas. And relationship, this intimate relationship with our significant other, is part of our life. And the mistake I've made in the past as well, I've got a flickering light, sorry. The mistake I've made in the past and that I see clients make
Yes.
is making a relationship our life
Yeah.
and
Yes.
excluding all the other seven life areas or just pushing them aside, because what happens then is we lose ourselves. We're disowning ourselves in order to either make the other, you know, we're overfunctioning to make the other
Yes.
feel better,
Yeah.
or we are, focusing on everyone else. And at the end of the day, it's like, what do I love? What do I
Yes.
want? What do I need?
I'm
We've even
losing
stopped.
myself. Yes. Yeah.
One of the first things is to find the voice
Yes.
to express what do I, you know, what I love, what I want, what I need. Because that's part of our self, our awareness, and everything that also makes us happy.
And one has to look at your stages in life. My daughter and son-in-law, they have two babies, one turning 3 this month, one turning 1 next month. And they're still in that baby stage of that routine. And, they maybe get an hour at the end of the day. And they're so exhausted because, got to get up in the night to feed the baby and the other one gets up early. And so they're still in that stage where there isn't any time for individualism or even us. But they know that it's temporary. They know that as the kids grow, they will get more time to themselves. And it's understanding that, when you are committing to having a family or somebody has gone back to school and it can't be there, 24/7 for you, whatever it is, it's the give and take. This is the time period where we're not going to be able to do much, dating, this, that, et cetera, but we would come together in different ways. Or my partner is choosing to expand their life with either a business or going back to school or doing something. Let me be supportive. I may not get that much time and attention right now, but when they get there, the pride that we will celebrate together, and then, the pendulum will swing back. Be aware that that pendulum is going to swing from one to the other. And it isn't like, I don't love you anymore because I'm busy. It's just that support me right now in this decision. Right? And then when you have got a decision, I will support you, and it's back and forth.
It's so true because support is love.
Yes.
It's very easy to get lost when we're pursuing something or when we are raising tiny babies.
Yes.
And I always say to my individuals, when they become a couple, and then very often I work with a couple pre-marriage or pre-whatever it is, when they're planning children, one thing I always say is remember, as delightful and as wonderful it is to have children, they are relationship wreckers. They don't come in to wreck the relationship,
No.
but children are relationship
Attention
wreckers.
seekers, yes.
And they need undivided attention 24/7.
Yes.
It is essential to prioritize the couple when this is happening, to not lose connection, because we were connected to one another and now we're just connected to this little person.
Yes.
Here's a funny thing. We got a puppy a year ago and we were sleep deprived. I try to crate train her and do all the right things, the new things that you do with puppies. And then I broke my arm. I was running with her
Oh no.
and I broke my arm. And for 3 weeks, we argued because our attention was just devoted to this little
Yes.
puppy. We were losing connection. We then had to deal with a broken arm, and then we discovered my hand was broken as well. So
Oh
I was quite
God.
incapacitated. And we looked at one another and it was like, well, what are we doing?
Yes.
And this is like having a new baby.
Yeah.
The tension is there. We were arguing with one another, and I teach relationships, and so I'm in the middle of everything, like turning on its head.
I
Anyway, we changed the structure. She decided she popped on. We popped her on the bed. She sleeps on the bed with us. We all slept, and everybody was happy. And the arm and the hand healed. We found a solution to keep connection and to get more
Exactly.
sleep. And it's prioritizing connection with one another, with all the chaos going on around us. And I've watched one of my couples in New York do this. And they've been so fortunate and blessed to have help that lives around them.
Yeah.
Their parents are far away.
I
And
am
they've
the help.
come
And
out
I'm only down. I'm going to be moving closer to them where I can help
of
take the kids. And
it.
they've got a his 40th coming up in a couple of weeks. And so I'm going to be taking the babies overnight and give them that night just to party and celebrate and,
I love
be a couple again. And
this.
yeah, you may not get it regularly, but have a goal for it. Have somebody kind of step up and it's a navigational thing with children, but it's also to know that yes, they're basically sucking the time out of you, but as they get older, you can claim back more of that time. But don't not acknowledge it. While you're changing diapers, you can still make eye to eye contact and have the conversation, right? Keep it alive in different ways. Don't lose focus on each other.
And that can be done in 15 to 30 minutes a day.
Yes, exactly.
It is always possible. I think one of the most important things is to keep devices out of the bedroom. People go, what about my clock? I'm getting an alarm clock. Because it's a huge temptation in so many individuals' lives and couples' lives to be on devices when we could actually be spending that
Yes.
time connecting, talking, dreaming, whatever, laughing, sharing differently.
Yes. Yes. Oh God, no, we see this all the time when you go out to a restaurant. Why are you there? You're only on your phone. Right? You're on your phone. You're not even paying attention to what you're eating. And just a side note, there's a great show called So You Think You Can Dance, and it's just come back with a new edition, and it's amateur dancers, looking to be a part of this competition, which is brilliant because the dancing is absolutely incredible. And there's all these people auditioning, and they're saying, yeah, TikTok. They're TikTok dancers. And for TikTok, you have to dance in a different way. You don't know how to use the whole stage. right? Where a dancer knows how to use the whole stage, and this one guy's getting exasperated, but, oh God, another TikToker. Because they've limited themselves instead of having the experience. And I think that kind of a metaphor for life. Don't limit yourself. Be willing to have these extended experiences to be able to elongate yourself in everything that you do. And, you know, if you're having, you're sleep deprived, you know, when the baby was born, he had a broken femur, the broken femur bringing him out. And then he was in a brace for 6 weeks and they could hardly even change him. And it was hard to hold him. And he's a baby, right? So his clock was a lot more. And it's like, yeah, you're going to feel exasperated and this and that. This is not the time to discuss anything serious, right? You're sleep deprived, you'll make wrong decisions. And I did another show on menstrual cycle, knowing what week your spouse is on and when to bring up those life-changing things you want to do or activities you want to do, and know what seasonal she's in that month to know whether this is the time to talk to her about it. All right. Otherwise, you're talking to her at a time where she is in cocoon stage and you're asking her to go for a hike, you know. She'll tell you to take the hike. You know the cycle so that you know when is a good time. And I think that's why we have to read each other, don't we? We have to read each other. Is this a good time to bring this up?
Great question to ask when there is something to be discussed.
Yes.
You know, the sensitivity, the awareness, because not everybody has capacity.
Right.
And a lot of men do not have capacity when they walk through that door or when they come out of the office, because a lot of people work
Yes.
from home. So it's gauging capacity, and timing is critical.
It
On
is.
both. It's about also living, you know, there's this expansiveness to us and to life, and embracing that. Instead of getting caught up in what I call a very narrow outlook on this tunnel vision
Yes.
that we tend to go into when we don't have capacity, but looking at different life areas to see where we can bring in more balance, to live a more expansive and expanded life, to engage with life.
Yes, yes.
Enhance,
Yes.
You know, I use those
Yes.
three things: expand, enhance, and engage in a different way. But it does take reflection, individual, and again, if you're part of a couple, as the couple.
Yes. And wonderment. I think wonderment is something that we need to all keep very much alive. You know, it's either you have the common sense fear, which keeps us alive. The other fear of the unknown is what holds us back. When instead of looking at fear, looking at it as wonderment, exploration. I don't know what's going to happen, but my common sense fear will protect me along the way. But I'm open and willing to learn and to receive. And I think, well, a lot of the time when anybody goes through anything, you know, broken relationship, a loss or anything like that, they get so stuck in that emotion, then they don't want to take the risk. I don't want to be hurt again. What's that? What do we hear when people have had a broken relationship? I don't want to be hurt again, so I'm not going to date anyone, right? And it's, how do you know if that person is just over there who's looking for you and you're not willing to venture out and step into wonderment? That didn't work. Do the work on yourself and step out into that wonderment and explore again.
I often say when I'm asked, how can I prevent this from happening again? And I say, love equals risk.
Yes.
And it's worth it.
Yeah. When you find that love, it's totally worth it, isn't it?
It's really worth it. We can't, you know, I mean, if we could develop that crystal ball,
yeah,
that show you how it's going to go. Knowing one thing, that if we've survived heartbreak and loss and stand strong, we would always be able to do it again.
Yes.
That's where we get the space, create a structure, get support, find sunshine every day. Everything will work out because we make it work out. We've survived, we'll survive again. And it doesn't mean that it's going to go, you know,
the same way.
Upside down.
Yeah. I mean, that's the with everything with life. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed that it's going to be a smooth day. However high vibrational conscious you are, you're going to attract more like to you, but we're still not guaranteed. But it just means whatever is thrown at us, we have a better understanding of how to manage it, how to cope with it. And I think that is something important. Be willing to have these experiences because there's a strength that you'll find about yourself, a courage you'll find about yourself, abilities that you'll discover about yourself that you didn't have there before. And this is part of your growth that you can take forward with, no blinkers, no linear road. There is no straight road, folks. Be willing to take the back country. Be willing to take the side roads and visit the little villages along the way. There's so much to learn if you're willing to just step out there and explore.
One thing I've always said, along with the joy and the happiness and all the good things, we are going to have challenges and obstacles. This is the balance of life. It's about remaining curious, knowing that whatever we've encountered in the past, we've also built a resilience. And that's what we want to build more of, more resilience, more open-hearted curiosity. Because challenges, obstacles are plenty, there will be. It's navigating that that actually really is part of the journey I call happiness. Looking back and going, wow, that was something, and we did it.
We carry on no matter what loss we have, as we didn't die with that person, and that person won't want us to. They would want us to move on. That relationship didn't work, but you learned a great deal from it. From my relationship, I got three beautiful children and a pathway to discover myself. And look at what you gained, not what you lost, because what I gained was having to navigate myself from fear and darkness back into light and joy, and willing to take that path. And yes, at times you feel very unsure-footed, you're very shaky and very nervous, but I thank God I did, because I would hate to still been in that other place, right? So it's, if you don't like where you're at, choose positive living. And that positive living is the attitude, is the gratitude of the gift of the day, is the possibilities that lay in front of you, is the willingness to walk them and explore.
And if you're stuck and you don't know how, find someone who's been there, who's done that, who can help you. There is so much help available. We have a world of YouTube and go and find the information and the experts who really, really share amazing tips and know-how as to how to navigate narcissistic relationships, how to cope with children when someone is dying, how to help people and oneself through very trying situations with often step by step little recipe, I call them, on how to do it.
The biggest leap is that first step, isn't it? Nobody expects you to leap after that, but that biggest leap is taking that first step. I need help. And that is not a weakness, that is a strength to ask for help.
And that generally is an individual. No one can force you to do it. Even all the suggestions that come your way, it's the individual who really wants to get out of pain, to live with expansive happiness, to create a new vision, and to connect. Because we are really, we're wired for connection.
Here we
We
are.
aren't meant to live in isolation. So, yes, I believe in love. I believe in connection. I am so hopeful for anyone who's gone through any form of loss that they can do it and live their best life yet.
Is another chapter in your book of life. That person, for some reason, wasn't meant to be your whole book of life. There are just a few chapters, but you've still got many more chapters to write. And you hold the pen. You hold the pen. Whatever happens to you or for you, you hold the pen. And it's knowing that that empowerment lies within us, right? So We do need the help, and that's what you're there for. So, am I assuming that you work with people virtually as well as one-on-one?
I do. I work all over the world. Even in countries you wouldn't even imagine I would be working in, which is a great joy to be able to help people in these countries who wouldn't have access otherwise.
Yes.
And very dangerous for them to even speak to someone in their own country. So yeah, that's the joy. That's the joy of this,
Yes,
being here.
the gift of, yeah, exactly. It breaks down those barriers and it reaches people that need it, and that's, the joy of it. And your book, what is, I don't have your book cover here. So what is your book, and how do people find it?
Sarah, I'm going to send you a copy. So,
Oh,
can you
yes.
see it clearly there?
Yes, Healing Your Heartbreak, 28 Days to Transformation.
There we
Beautiful.
go.
With a
So,
dandelion there.
yes, the dandelion, and then the dandelion seeds, and
Yes.
this is the hope when it comes to heartbreak. It's this newfound wisdom and a powerful sense of aliveness. That's a little message on the back.
Wonderful.
When you were talking about chapters, the last chapter is about throwing the doors wide open. But it starts, as in those four S's, the first one is groundedness. And then it's about drawing boundaries. Then it's about finding sunshine. And, the last part is really this whole creative, expansive part of ourselves. And I've broken it down into a 28-day process, little steps, because grief is very hard to actually even read. That's why the book very soon will be out on Audible. But we can only take tiny steps in grief. And then week one, we've discovered something really new. Week two, those different boundaries that we need to implement. And, week three is the finding the sunshine part. And then the last part is, really embracing life completely. So it's transformative. Are we completely healed in 28 days? There's always more work to do.
Exact, but you know how. You've got the
Yes.
tools now. It's rinse and repeat. Right. You've got the
What
tools
happens?
for whatever comes up. You've got the tools.
What also happens here is you identify areas you want to dive deeper
Yes.
into.
Yes.
And therein, gosh, I teach it and I'm still learning and I'm still working.
Exactly. I mean, for people to say they know it all, that arrogance is do not assume. The life is about self-discovery. It is about discovery of who we are in a situation. And it doesn't matter how much we think we know, the human condition is going to react differently. And it's been able to catch yourself, and it's been able to understand what's going on, and it's been able to apply the right tools. But that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction or stuff doesn't happen to you, and that you don't learn something new from it. And that's the gift, isn't it? Learning something new from it.
Yeah, I'm sure, any of us plunged into the darkness of pain and grief could do without the learning. And yet, those five stages of grief, the denial, the anger, the bargaining, the depression, the acceptance, and the sixth stage, meaning. Don't have it in that darkness, but when we get the meaning, it's like a clear before and then after.
Yes.
And we never go back to that state before because the after is the meaning, the joy, the happiness, and the gift that comes from going through all those stages.
And the thing is, you need to go through all of those stages. It doesn't mean you have to wallow in them, but you need to go through them. Because those stages are going to lead you to the meaning. They're going to lead you to opening up those doors to the creation, your creation of life. But if we're not, there are no short steps. There's no have somebody else do it for you. No, we've got to do it for ourselves, because this is how we heal. This is how we learn. And I say with these shows, listen, learn, and apply. Because if we're listening and we're learning, apply that knowledge that you've just learned. Even if it's one thing, apply it. Because in that application of it, it's something that will expand your understanding, expand your horizon. Be willing to learn something every day. And there's one thing about grandchildren that's wonderful. You learn something different, right? You know, with children, you're too much immersed in it. With grandchildren, you can sit back and observe more. And it's a reminder to find that joy in life that very often we feel has been taken from us with the loss. And it's that, no, it's not going to be the same joy, because that joy with that person was the joy with that person. And now it's in my memory bank and I can visit it anytime. But I can create new joy now, new experiences, new loves. And I'm not betraying the old love. I'm taking all the joy that I got from that love and applying it to a new. So,
beautifully said.
How do people get hold of you? What is the process if they wish to reach out and go through this program with you?
Okay, the best thing to do is to contact me on the contact form on my website. And the website is shellyjwhitehead.com. And fill out the contact form. We have some amazing things in development right now. There are two books following hot on the heels of this one. But I'm going to be running, you know, the Healing Your Heartbreak program, as well as the book being available soon after this. And I think at the end of April, I have to wait for the design to get done on that, is the relationship reset for anyone in a relationship, having left a relationship on their own to discover more about themselves.
Yeah.
And we're going to be running that as a 6-week course, as well as my membership group. So if anybody is interested, just email on the contact form, ask to be added to, or inquire, and we'll let you know, because you'll be part of the database. I also have monthly meditations I send out. They're free. Subscribe to my email list and you'll get those, and then you'll get the notifications of what is coming out next.
Great. And of course, you're on YouTube as well, which so people can just start watching, listening, learning, get the book, start reading. You know, it's always been, but I don't know how, I don't know what the first step is. And, you know, it's read the book, watch some of the videos, and then reach out and go, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm prepared. But it's all about shifting, you know, shifting from the loss, from the pain of that loss, from the unknown of where you're going now, into getting into a feeling, into a safe space filled with self-courage and abilities and desire to move forward onto your next chapter. But and somebody helping you through that process so you don't get stuck in any one of them, or you don't put them in the right order, right? Which can very much trying to find the meaning of it all in the beginning. No, that's at the end, right? So it's taking you through the steps logically, rationally, so that you can get through it. And that doesn't mean that your heart isn't going to ache for that person somewhere down the road, but it just means it's a temporary hug, a temporary love for that person. And it's not going to be something that's going to consume you, which is very, very important. We don't want it to consume you.
The other thing I was going to mention there is they can also find me on Instagram. I am on TikTok, you know, all forms of social media, and right through to LinkedIn. So we're there. I have a fabulous team. So we're always responsive. I genuinely respond to all those private messages myself. We are here to help and to serve, put it that way.
The best teachers are those that have gone through it and discovered what you needed in going through the process. And that's what, you know, then brings about the gift that you're now sharing with everyone else, the process of how to get through it. I always say that you went through the Grand Canyon. And, you know, we just want people to face the potholes and know how to get through them, but not fall into the Grand Canyon. So, you know, tap into the experience that she's had. She knows where you are, whether it's a breakup, whether it's a loss of someone. And she's got the process for you. And that process, one step at a time, but you know what step is next. You know how to acknowledge each step and the feeling that you're feeling. And please be prepared to feel. That is the only way you're going to get through it, to that happy feeling, to that sunshine feeling, is going through the feeling of the pain in order to release it. Where you can talk about your loved one or you can talk about your past without it ever feeling painful. Getting to the stage where you can talk about it, but there's no more pain to do with it.
That's it. Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us here today, love. And I love the work that you're doing. It's really, really important. I feel that even more today, people are going through loss in a different way. And we really need to acknowledge what we need to go through in order to release, in order to embrace a new life. All right, there is no suck it up and get on with it. No, go through the process, because otherwise it will manifest in the form of disease or breakdown or addiction. You'll go and look somewhere else to numb it. And we don't want that. Go through it, become stronger and more abundant because of it. So thank you so much, Ellie, for being with us here today.
Really lovely. I've enjoyed this. Thank you.
Until next time, folks. Bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.